Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In a world where very few people embrace their global identity and seek to understand their neighbors, cross-cultural expert Tayo Roxon is on a mission to bridge this divide. Each week, he'll open your mind with insights from some of the global minds in the world. Get ready, take some notes, and learn how to be the best you that you can be.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today's episode is with Naomi Attaway. And she is a noted speaker, published author, and she's talked about community building, change in leadership, repatriation, and life abroad. She's also recognized as a thought leader in the international and global community. So a lot of what we're going to be talking about today is what it's like to live across cultures and what it's like to actually build communities that can actually make a true impact. Use your difference to make a difference, if you will. Welcome to the show, Naomi.
Thank you, Tayo. It's so good to be in the same space with you again.
Yes, yes. We met, I want to say, is it like almost 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
4 years ago, we were speaking together at Families in Global Transition in D.C.
We were. I'm actually headed down to D.C. Tomorrow morning. Funny how things walk around, because you were talking about I'm a triangle then.
Yeah.
Now you've got this I'm a triangle movement that's over 60,000 people. And that's what we're going to be talking about with the podcast. And I was talking about use your difference to make a difference at that time. And it's funny to see how things happen when you build communities and you basically allow that to spearhead a movement that you're trying to promote.
Well, and I think for you also, it's been fun to watch your journey, because you started it because you saw a need and you saw something you could step into and really make a difference. And I think it's the same. Like, we both, the trajectory and the journey has been funny for both of us.
It's funny. And I'm glad to dive in. I'm eager to dive into all that today. So let's start with your journey first. Let's introduce it to the audience. Obviously, you're someone that has had a successful real estate career. You know, you're the owner of Ethan Home, and that's a company in Northern Virginia. But how did you really grow up, and how did you get to where you are today, that you are really building an amazing community?
You know, that's a really great question. And it's funny because I spoke at the last Families in Global Transition conference just this last year. And in preparing for that, I was doing a lot of soul searching around community building. And I realized that it started with me from a very young age. I was homeschooled in very rural Nebraska in the United States before it was legal to do so. And so I watched my mom very intentionally create community around us so that we had what we needed growing up, whether that was in terms of our curriculum or in terms of our social engagement that we needed. She did that for us. The other piece of it comes into play, I think, because I'm biracial. My father is black, my mother is white. I was born in the early 1970s when it wasn't quite so typical to see a mixed couple getting married. And so I think for all of those reasons, I've always been one to seek out what I can bring to other people and what I can get from people that could help me grow. And that's kind of the definition of community, is having a place where you belong. And I've been on a constant search for that, I think.
That's so fascinating to me. And you are right about the fact that a lot of times that this can, you can trace it back to your formative periods of your life. But you talked about the community and, you know, growing up in a mixed family and everything that you've done with what you've done in your work. How did you get involved in the expat community?
So, I actually don't like the word expat.
You know what? See, how did you get involved in the new word that you're about to tell me, community?
That's so funny. I stayed put in Nebraska my entire growing up years. I met my husband when I was around 30, and he had been living overseas long-term with Delta Airlines. And so that was kind of my first foray into living overseas. We took our family to New Delhi, India. We lived there for 3 years, and then we lived in Singapore for 1 year. And it was kind of a jump in, and we just kind of said, why not? We moved obviously for his career, but it ended up being so much richer of an experience, much more than just going overseas for a job. And the reason I don't like expat is I think that it's too confining, and has some colonialism tied in with it that I would love to see kind of just abolished, you know, in terms of what word to use. I don't really have a good answer for that, but I think internationals or global citizens could be a little bit more fitting and a little more inclusive.
No, I hear you. So when you say colonialism is embedded in it, what do you mean by that?
I just think that going back to the early days of when expat or expatriate was starting to be used, it typically was white families who were being sent with packages, financial packages, to places where white people were not the controlling race in a place. And so I think that there's a lot of have and have nots, or I don't know, there's just a lot tied up with that.
Interesting.
I think that the other piece of it too also comes into play when you have immigrants and then discussing the whole hidden immigrant phenomenon where people look as though they should belong, but they are true immigrants. And that plays into race as well, which that kind of gets me on a side note. But I just think that we need to be more aware consciously of the words that we use when there could be some backstory involved.
It's interesting. I've never seen the word expat that way, but I do agree that certain words, for sure, we definitely need to be more aware. And I think a lot of times we lose the essence and the meaning of the words because we don't trace it back to that, to the right history. So it's interesting. I'm sure someone listening is thinking, I never thought of expat that way. So,
yeah, and a lot of times, I'm a triangle community, a lot of times it gets brought up just around that package that typically goes or has in the past gone with a corporate expat. And a lot of like missionaries, international development folks that I talk to, people that are kind of in the field, very few of them ever refer to themselves as expats. That'd be interesting to see what your audience thinks around that topic.
I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of opinions, but that's the point of the show. I love the fact that people like yourself can come on and talk about why you feel the way you feel, and then it's completely okay. That's the world we live in, and you raise a lot of valid points. I'm curious about, let's talk about your career as a global citizen. Let's put it that way. As a global citizen, what did you learn about yourself throughout this period when you were in India and you were in like a different country and you saw yourself as someone that was really the minority there?
Well, it's interesting because I am biracial. I actually fit in and didn't look different in terms of my physical appearance. In fact, a lot of people asked me just because of my curly hair, I don't know what it was, if I was Bengali.
Really?
Yeah. So that was fascinating. And it was also fascinating because from a physical appearance standpoint, we had friends that were living on an international posting assignment who had blonde children. And they were constantly the source of attention when we would go out or be in markets. And my kids never were. So it was kind of interesting to just see that difference. But one of the things I think I learned about myself during the process was that I'm stronger than I gave myself credit for. I think that when you take advantage of living outside of your passport country, you can sometimes have some crazy things thrown at you. And then through that, you realize your resilience and your ability to adapt and grow through situations.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. You just learn a lot by yourself. I mean, you learn a lot about your growth and what you can take. And I was laughing at the experience with your friends, your children's blonde friends, because my experience when I lived in Vietnam was the opposite. I was me and my brothers and my family, we were the anomaly because we were the only black family by a mile. So I always loved those juxtaposition where in some countries it's because you're white, other countries it's because you're black. And it was an interesting experience. And I to this day, you know, Vietnam is one of my favorite countries. But the thing that it let me know is the importance of exposure, the importance of how many people might not see the world the way you see it. And right. You know, being called Kobe Bryant or Will Smith, it was an interesting thing because I'm like, wow, this is so fascinating to me. So,
oh gosh,
yeah, no, I mean, they were taking pictures and things like that, and I was like, yeah, this is interesting. But it just lets you know that the world is so much bigger, and then there's always endless possibilities, and you never know. You should never take what you have for granted. Essentially,
absolutely,
for sure.
Absolutely.
Right. So now we can circle back to the moment we met. Obviously, we met at a conference called FIGT Families and Global Transition. I, at the time, was getting my MBA. I just moved to New York City. I was, you know, at a point in my life where I left a job and I really wanted to step into my purpose. And, you know, since I was a kid, I knew I wanted to influence the next set of global leaders, but I didn't quite know how to do it. So I was at that genesis of figuring out what it was I was truly passionate about. And I had just launched a podcast that was starting to get a lot of traction. And then I was really starting to understand the power of community. A lot of people were sending me messages and emails saying, thank you for that podcast. That guest really hit home for me. The story that you highlighted on something that hasn't been talked about. I didn't know that I was a TCK. I didn't know that I was this. And I started to understand, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that telling your story and building and staying consistent could actually lead to a moment of you know, enlightenment for some people. And you, at the same time, you were doing, you know, I Am a Triangle. And that's another community. I'm just curious as to, you know, what you've learned since that moment, because I'm a Triangle is now a thriving community with well over 16,000 people of people who are global citizens, nomads, internationals, but they're also exploring the idea of what it is that you've created with I'm a Triangle. So can you talk about what you've learned since the moment we met there and why community is so important?
Yeah. So I was trying to think, so it was, 4 years ago, I think, and it was just after I had started the I Am a Triangle community, and I think it must have been very small at that time. The I Am a Triangle concept started because when we repatriated back to the United States, I had a really hard time. I had a hard time feeling as though I belonged. I didn't really know what my identity was outside of who I'd become while being overseas. And my mom, who is a missionary in Kenya, shared the concept with me. She had been given it as a part of a debrief at Missions Training International. I always get that confused if it's MIT or MTI. the basic gist is that as a passport citizen, where you call home, even though that's kind of a convoluted word for some of us, you're like a circle. And when you move to a host country or experience a very different culture, that's like a square. And after spending some time in that second culture, you can't stay a circle. You can't ever fully become a square. And so instead you meld into what's a triangle. And that triangle then doesn't realize its pointedness or its difference until it returns back to the passport country. And so that really resonated with me. I blogged my version of the story, and that's what has been the catalyst to creating the community. And one of the things that's been interesting is realizing how many people in our community feel stuck. They feel as though they're not the victim, but that someone else is controlling their destiny, whether they're getting moved around as a child and don't have the control, whether a company's moving them, military, foreign service, what have you. And so I think the biggest impact that I see happening in our community right now is when people realize they do have a story and their story matters and there's people that are willing to hear it. And what I'm excited about the future for our community is starting to really ramp up and, like you're doing, work on what our impact is and what our advantage is because of the experiences that we've had. Because that's true power.
Wow. And I love that concept. You go from a circle to a square to a triangle. And a triangle is obviously one of those, you know, in history, it's one of those shapes that's used to symbolize a lot of things. And I was curious if you ever even thought of that as you were creating that, or, you know, like, did you think about the synergy with the balance and
Well, what's funny is, so the concept's not mine. I think kind of gave legs to it or a voice to it. We've been trying to track down the actual source of it, and we've been unable to. What's interesting is in The Hague, when we were there for the FIGT conference, the Expat Archive Center has a book that was written 20 some years ago by a bunch of Shell employee wives. And on the back cover, it still gives me the chills to think about it, is an imagery of a square with a circle inside of it with a triangle inside. And we contacted the person who wrote it, and she said she had no idea of the concept, but that she used it because the triangle is such a strong shape. I'm still looking for the actual source of that concept.
No. Well, anyone listening, if you know, if you have any detective skills, let us know.
That would be awesome.
And it's imatriangle.com. I believe the website will be out by the time the podcast is up, right?
Yeah. So we're actually navigating some crazy waters. We have been on Facebook for the last 4 years, growing in that way and using that. We also have 60 plus city locations where our triangles get together in real life. By the time the podcast airs, we will have launched our new website, imatriangle.com, and we're doing the kind of scary move of leaving Facebook with our community and starting a new platform called Mighty Networks, where we can better support our community going forward.
The platform is called what?
It's called Mighty Networks.
Mighty Networks.
Yeah, that's cool. It's a really amazing platform that was built specifically for the purpose of building community and helping people to meet others that can impact their lives, instead of focusing on just like-minded people who have liked or commented your stuff in the past.
Well, let's talk about the word impact, because that obviously is something that's very important to you, and you are trying to create a community of people to do something about the impact that they can make. Why do you feel like this is what your calling is?
I have seen too many people in my years of PTA and sports and, you know, any kind of organizations that don't feel that they have enough talent or that they don't bring enough to the table. I've seen way too many people sit on their hands and not raise them and not have the courage to do so. And I think that if I can be of help and help encourage people to remember what their talents are and what they can bring to the table and truly what value they can give to other human beings. I think that starts the ripple effect that's needed right now. And I also feel like your nomads, you know, people that are in this lifestyle or have been through the experiences that we have this great potential to be the kindest, most authentic people in the world. Mm. And if we take that and put some sweat equity and elbow grease behind it, I mean, imagine the things that we could accomplish. Yeah. Impact is a pretty big deal to me.
Yeah. And just so that the listeners know, you'd written a blog post that went really viral. And I don't know if that's what sparked you to actually create the community, but I remember you telling me about that blog post and kind of your thinking behind that. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so that is what started the community. And the reason it started the community was because people, like you said, you know, you would get people commenting on your podcast and they'd say, that was meaningful to me and this is why. When people would comment on the blog post, and it was really to describe the triangle concept and then also my feeling of belonging and trying to fit in. Because belonging is a really powerful thing that us humans have to have in our lives. And too often we are forced to instead fit in. And fitting in is conforming to those around you, when instead you need to find belonging, which is a community that allows you to be who you are. Hmm. Which is there's two big differences, but people started commenting in droves and I needed a place where they could support each other. And that's why the community was started. And I think that what's been cool to see is when someone comes in with a question and they say something, for example, what do you say when people ask you what you do when your spouse is the one earning the money? And to watch people come in with supportive comments and encouragement and even challenges, like volunteer, all of the volunteering that you're doing. That's what you do. Yeah. Loving and raising.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Amazing children. That's what you do. Showing up for your, you know, international community. That's what you do. I forgot what question you asked me because I went down a bunny trail. But
no, it's okay. It was basically about how that blog post led to the community.
I wanted there to be a place where people could come for support and also give support, because there's some rock stars in our community that have been around the block and have done this lifestyle for a long time. And it was important for me for them to have the ability to help others, and vice versa.
No, and the only reason I asked that question is because I know how truly passionate you are about this, but I also want people listening to understand that came from a blog post, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people are, you know, they have self-limiting beliefs. They think my writing my truth is not going to resonate with anyone. And that's a mistake people make. Because who thinks like this? Who my problem is my problem. Why would I share that? What's the point of that?
Such a great. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. You. I'm basically passing the baton to you because I know you have a point on around that.
Well, and that was the first sentence of almost every single comment that was left on the blog. Was I thought I was the only one, and then they would say some variation of me too, and I think that is a self-limiting belief, that we think that our story doesn't matter or that we are the only one. And when you write or share your story from a place of your true experience, that's when you're truly opening yourself up to other people finding you, really.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of your impact and your ripple effect in the world.
For sure. And it leads to what you said, belonging, right? You know, belonging, you said it's different from fitting in, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, belonging is, I think if I'm going to paraphrase you, correct me if I'm wrong, you're talking about, you know, in being in a community of, it's moving beyond just like-minded people that accept you for who you are, and they actually cheer you on to be the best version of yourself.
That, and I think there's one more layer to it that I've seen happen in our community, because I watch our community develop and I watch it ebb and flow and watch what's happening. And the other element to that is that when you belong to a community, that isn't just like-minded people, though, you're consistently being challenged to expand your thinking. Mm. We have a lot of dialogue around, that's not what I believe, but please tell me more. That's not how I was raised to believe, but please tell me more. Mm. Because until we start to do that as human beings, we're not going to get anywhere.
Right.
You know, we don't always have to agree, and we don't have to come from the same place. In fact, none of us come from the same place, and we ourselves grow and change as we age and move through this life. But until we start saying, tell me why you believe that, it's a hopeless effort.
Yeah. And I imagine that happens with the expat word sometimes. Maybe some people might disagree with you. Mm-hmm. One thing I also wanted to point out, though, we live in interesting times, right? Regardless of where you stand in politics or whatever, but if you look at the world, you know, from Europe to here, there are people that have strong opinions on either side.
Yes.
I imagine in your group, have you seen those? Because I saw a rule in your Facebook group, you said no politics. But I'm curious, when something like this, something like the last 2 years happens, where it really impacts people's personal lives, how do you manage that conversation? Did you modify the rule? Did you say no? Still not talking politics. Doesn't matter.
So that is a really good, very heated question. So when the last United States election happened and when Brexit happened, our group blew up. It was on fire. Me and the other gal helping me moderate at the time didn't sleep for 2 days because it was so, our group was so injected with passion and fear and questions. And so what we decided to do was have this no politics rule, because we have a very strong policy on not culture bashing, not bashing any of our world leaders, and not bashing members. And often when our passions come into play, our fingers get typing way too fast on the keyboard, and we say things that we might want to take back later. What we did to provide a space for those conversations to happen was create a group called Plug In, which is politics, legislation, unity, and government. That is a space where people are allowed to talk politics. They are allowed to talk about their fears, travel bans, all sorts of things. But it's we've got 6 moderators in that group, and people kind of have to take this oath of respect and kindness before they are allowed to be in that group. That way it keeps the fear-based posts out of the main community. So that's our solution to that, because it is important to talk about things that impact personal lives. We just have to do it in a way that we always take a breath, stop, ask the right questions, and first and foremost, be kind with each other.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tricky balance. And, you know, for me, a lot of what this work has led me to do is I go into companies and I consult on diversity and inclusion. And part of the conversations we're having is how to communicate across cultures, how to deal with bias, but also how to have difficult conversations. And, you know, I might be a little different from you in the sense that I actually do encourage these type of conversations, but it's more about the way I facilitate it, where we're acknowledging the fact that we're going to have uncomfortable moments and we're going to respect each other's opinions. But I don't know. I always like to have it even in the largest setting, just because at this moment, I had people reach out to me when, with my consultant, who legitimately told me they weren't going to work. And these were CEOs saying, I don't know how I'm going to lead this team. I feel down. I think I'm going to take a week off. Everybody go home. And I had a 12-year-old write me, and this lovely lady, Sophia, that I keep in touch with. And she wrote me about her fears and what she was doing. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is just going from everyone. And I was like, okay, I think we got into this place because a lot of us felt like we couldn't talk. And we have all these opinions that we haven't hashed out. And, it's very tricky because I can definitely understand how you have 6 moderators. But I don't know. I've tended to lean more with figuring out the best way to facilitate that, but open up these conversations where even if I'm in a room with a racist, I want to hear your thoughts and I want you to be able to hear mine. And then we don't have to agree, but we just have to be able to understand that we can have that conversation.
Well, and I think part of the difference for me, and not to say that I don't agree with what you're saying, but for me in my trajectory with the community, was that we did try to let that happen. We did encourage open dialogue around it, and we did want to have people be able to express their fears. What happened, though, is that, I mean, it's the term that everyone uses now, keyboard warriors, where people have a little bit more fuel behind a laptop screen than they would if they were sitting around a table. and this is just the truth. When I am sleeping, someone might be on their 5th gin and tonic, and that that can also add to some of the discussions going a little bit farther than I think people are willing to look at in the face the next morning when they wake up. We've had a lot of that kind of thing happening where people said, you know what, I should have toned it down a little bit. So it's a hard discussion or a hard balance to toe. With 16,000 people, we have people from every nationality, walk of life, faith, and so we had a lot of, I voted for him for this reason, and a lot of, how dare you, so there was a lot of that kind of back and forth that, we just decided to have moved over into that subgroup.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, and the, not to say there's a right or wrong answer. It's just about, it definitely is case by case, different approaches. But I love the fact that you still created a platform and you said, okay, look, I know this is obviously something, I can't avoid it. I mean, you are creating a community of international minded people. So, things like travel bans and things like Brexit and things like you can't come here, or I don't think these people, it definitely directly affects people. So,
I think the other piece of it too is that if you look past the politics of what's happened in the last year or so, there's so much going on that I think we do stand to learn about each other.
Oh, sure.
And about, you know, different locations and what passports aren't allowed in certain locations, and the slight towards, for example, redheaded people in parts of the world. I mean, there's all sorts of things that it's been fascinating to learn about. But until you're willing to have the conversations, those lessons aren't learned.
Absolutely. So then let's go on to the next, step would be, so we talked about why community is important. So how can you find one? How can you create one? And how do you get the most out of them?
So I feel like, the process of building a community, whether you're the one that's building it or whether you're one that wants to find it, I think you have to go into it with the attitude of showing up. If you walk into, say, a networking event, if you tell yourself, I have something of value to give to the people in that room, it changes your whole experience. And I think it's the same when you approach community, whether that's a virtual community or your new neighborhood, your classmates, your peers, however, wherever that community sits. If you don't walk into it and say, what are you going to give me? What can I get out of this? But instead focus on kind of taking a moment and saying, okay, I have these three key things that I'd love to share with someone, or I have this that I can give back. I think you find your community faster. In terms of actually building one, you have to show up every day and you have to be ruthless with your values and why you believe that this community is important. And be open to change, be open to flexing and bending kind of as your community grows and tells you what they need.
Yeah. It's that idea of, you know, staying firm on what it is that you want to achieve, but being flexible with the path to get there. But my favorite point in what you really talked about was the consistency element. I think even if I'm looking back at the growth and trajectory that you've had, I keep saying, I remember when it was just starting. And now it's a level where it's 16,000 people. If you had given up in any moment, and I'm sure there have been moments, I mean, you have another company. I mean, the many moments where you could have been distracted or you felt like, well, what's the point of this? You know, am I even getting paid for this? But if you had given up in any moment during that time, think about how you wouldn't have created a safe space with people from different parts of the world to, you know, to thrive. And that's always a thing to look back on whenever, you know, someone feels like they're about to give up. I always say, well, you're probably closer to your biggest breakthrough than you think you are.
I agree. And so many people say, you know, all the greats say that when you feel like giving up, it means you're almost there. And I think that is, it's hard to remember though, when you're in the middle of trying to create something or build something, a lot of times that's a lonely space to be in. So for anyone that's in that space that's listening, who does feel like you're just not getting the traction you want, I think sometimes it's important to rest. I think it's important to seek out other people who are doing either what you're doing or what you seek to do and ask them for their input or just ask for listening ears. Sometimes all you need is someone to say, you're doing a good job, keep going, because often that curve, that precipice is just around the corner.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. And then what's the new conversation with repatriation for you?
I think that the thing about repatriation that really it's not going to go away and it's not going to go out of style is the fact that people need to be prepared for it just like they prepared for their leaving, for their post. I think a lot of people think that coming home, quote unquote, is going to be simple. And so they don't prepare for it. And then they're a little bit gobsmacked by the fact that it's difficult. So I think people need to understand to prepare for it and that there are a lot of resources out there that encourage you to look at it as another reposting, a new relocation, so to speak. And once you get there, to explore your new communities and really get to know home again.
Yeah. No, I mean, I you know, it's a very big deal. I mean, I grew up in a diplomatic family. So, you know, that moving back and forth is something it's definitely takes, you know, if you're not used to it, you know, you're coming back to a whole new world. Sometimes you have to do some of the same things you used to do before. And it might be hard to just continue to do that over a set period of time. So hopefully, you know, what you're doing and creating that new conversation, you're also there are resources that people can tap into as they become part of your group.
Yeah, absolutely. So on the website, we have resources for those who haven't lived abroad yet but are pondering, those who are still in the middle of it, and then people that are on their way home or about to repatriate. And so we've got Experts Corner and videos and all sorts of different things. And then we've got really great blog contributors that write on all different topics, including things that are hard, like death while you're overseas, losing a loved one while you're far away, and all sorts of things. So it's got all sorts of goodness. And then, like we've mentioned, the new Mighty Networks platform where we will continue our community building.
Love it. Love it. And then as we're getting ready to wrap up, I kind of want you to talk about the next steps, what you envision. Obviously, this is a great community. Anytime you can say I have the attention of 16,000 people who are engaged, it's just, you know, you're moving beyond the 1,000 true fans element there. So where do you see I Am a Triangle going, and what do you hope to achieve in the next 5 to 10 years?
So that's a good question. I am not certain how the next step will go, because a lot of people are so ingrained with Facebook. So that will be kind of a grand experiment, so to speak, to see what happens with that community migration. But what I do want to see is that we stop looking at the numbers so much and start looking at our impact. We're going to be developing a philanthropic arm to I Am a Triangle, which is super exciting to me, so that we can start connecting people who have with opportunities to be of service, whether that's volunteerism in the communities where they live or using their pocketbooks to make a difference. So that's a really big thing that I'm excited about. And the other piece that I see us going in the next 5 to 10 years is that the I Am a Triangle community will truly be a platform for those that are trying to get something amazing started and who need the audience. It's so hard to get an audience. And so if you've got something that's amazing, you should be able to focus your work on your amazingness and what you're putting out, and not in trying to get people to listen to it. So I'd love to see I'm a Triangle becoming a platform for internationals to share their work, share their books, share their projects, and so forth. So those two things are probably my biggest focus for the next 5 to 10 years.
No, I love that. That's a big deal. And I love that you're focusing on the impact. And if you focus on the impact, the numbers will come. And whatever number is right for you will be right for you. I think we get too romanticized with the idea that it has to be a million, it has to be 2 million, 3 million. But it's more about who we're creating and what we're inspiring in people, and how that can actually be the spark that ignites a movement.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you never know. I mean, you could have an audience of 30, and those might be the right 30 butts in the seats. you know, and if you have, you look at people that are called influencers that have hundreds of thousands of followers, they might not be the people that they need. So I think that you're right. It's not about the numbers. It's about having the right people who need to hear what you have to say.
For sure. Well, Naomi, thanks, man. This has been great. I before we go, where can people find you? And then I'll ask you the final question I always ask all my listeners.
Sure. So imatriangle.com. I'm on Twitter, Naomi_Hadaway, and I love Instagram. I am there as the relocation expert.
The relocation expert. So I'll make sure I put that in the show notes. Last question I always ask my guests is this. It's the mission statement of the podcast. Use your difference to make a difference. So Naomi, how do you use your difference to make a difference?
I think I have figured out a way to use my difference as someone who hasn't necessarily always belonged, to bring kind of in a Pied Piper way along others that feel the same way. And then we flip that to really use, as you have as your tagline, embrace your global advantage. We have an amazing global advantage. And it's just sometimes about remembering that or being reminded of that.
Wow. I love it. I want to thank you so much. This has been great. I just love the authenticity that you have when you talk about brand building, community, and just impact. And you know, there's a sense of realness that comes through here as I'm listening through the audio waves here, that, you know, you truly want to make the world a better place, and you're trying to cultivate an environment where people feel like they can do much more than they think they can. So I appreciate the work that you're doing, and I can't wait to see where this goes.
Thank you, Teo. I'm excited to see the future for both of us. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure is mine. Ladies and gentlemen, till next week, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.